and welcome to Wine with Meg and Mel. We're here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm Mel Gilchrist, joined by, actually this time, Master of Wine, Meg Brotman.
I'm back in the country. Yay!
We really thought we had that episode covered, didn't we?
I know. We're not very good at counting. That's why we're not doing a mathematics podcast. We're doing a wine podcast.
Yeah, well, thank you, Cara, for stepping in.
Yeah, it was a good episode. I really want to try that pepper jack.
Yes, actually, that was really good.
I mean, I'm thinking this mid-strength is where it could be. I don't think I'd ever go the no. Thank you for taking one for the team, Cara. but I the mid-strength.
There's something in that.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so today we're back on seeing if you can taste terroir around Australia.
In Chardonnay.
Chardonnay.
So, you know, we always go on, but that's such a Yarra Valley Chardonnay, and then we did that whole episode on Margaret River Chardonnay. And I'm just thinking, like we did with Riesling, really? Are we that good? Do we know? Because I think winemaking, we even said with the Margaret River, remember, oh, gosh, there seems a lot more winemaking in that Yarra Valley flinty reductive style that seems to be overshadowing sense of place. So I just thought – yeah, we've got four glasses in front of us.
I'm so excited.
Darling husband has decanted everything.
Thank
I think
you,
he's
Pete.
Taken a little slurp of everything as well
he's
on his way.
Tax.
Yeah, tax. That'd be right. so we don't know. I can tell you where we're from.
Yeah, we'll go into it when we get into it. But first, I thought this time, instead of doing your fun fact as normal, I want to get your opinion on something that I've been talking about for about 24 hours. And people who follow my Instagram will have seen these polls go up last night.
So you know that I haven't seen it.
No, you're only on there sporadically. So, Meg, the question is, you host a dinner party and you have friends over.
Yep.
Friend shows up with a bottle of wine. Do you open it that night with them? Or do you – is that wine a gift – and you save it and open your own stuff?
I ask.
You ask.
I tend to open it politely, but sometimes we do have the wines lined up for dinner and we're just like, But no, I always ask. I remember
– You're polite?
Yeah, I know, right? Because I have a lot of non-wine friends coming for dinner. So, like, you know, friends of mine bring – Malbec Sauvignon Blanc. Now, they know that I'm not going to have that in the house. I just don't ever buy it. So they bring – they BYO.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to open it for them.
Yeah.
I do remember one night going to a dinner party with a very expensive bottle of wine, expecting them to open it, and they put it in their cellar.
Do you know what?
Never saw
when
it again.
When I asked this on my Instagram, I got so many responses back like that. A friend saying that she brought like burgundy to a party and they said, oh, thank you, and then opened like a $20 pepper jack or something.
This was a Barolo. With some age on it, and they brought out a decent Australian red, but that's not what I wanted to be drinking.
It's
I wanted to be drinking a savoury Italian number, and I was given, I don't know, a very good wine. It wasn't like not the equivalent in price, but just a completely different style of wine.
Well, Meg, the reason I ask is because a butler to the rich and famous has revealed that you should never open a bottle of wine gifted by a dinner guest on the same night.
Wow.
And so he works for like wealthy families in
but they're obviously
the US.
Wankers.
Well, he says that if someone brings a bottle of wine, it's a gift. And if you open it, it implies that you don't have enough booze to keep your guests' glasses filled.
See, I think that's a cultural thing because in our culture, I don't think it's seen like that. Do you?
No. And I asked this question on my Instagram and got like hundreds of responses and 81% of people said that they would drink it that night.
Yeah. I mean, I do ask, but, you know, if it's a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, I'm opening that pub because I do not want that in my cellar.
Yeah.
And I know that that's what they want to drink. So why give them, you know, a glass of Chardonnay if they want to drink
that?
This
is true. One of my favourite responses I got from someone at work today was they said, just drink more. Like, just drink what you'd planned and their bottle.
But the other thing is you don't have to finish
everything.
That's
true.
The thing. So you can open up and say, would you like a glass of this or would you like a glass of that? And they can have some options.
Yeah.
You know, yes. But I generally do,
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was a fun discussion.
I don't want it in my
cellar. Now we know what a master of wine would do.
Well, you know. But I'm not a wanker. And I have plenty of wine. There's never a shortage of wine.
But then you have to drink it if you open their Sauvignon Blanc.
No, I just give it to them. And I drink. Yeah, and I just drink what I want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, okay. No. And no. Equally, when I go
but what
to...
if they brought like a red wine that they thought that you would like, but it was like a...
I would drink that.
You would? Yeah. Aw.
The friends of ours drink this Pinot
that I... had no idea you were so polite. I literally thought that you would say...
No. Well, friends of ours have drink this Pinot that I really detest. I'm not going to mention it. It looks like a dry red, but we always take wine, but we always end up drinking that one because they like it.
Yeah.
And I drink it.
Wow.
No, I'm, you know, I'm not... Yeah, I'm not fussy.
You wouldn't know if it was me. You'd tell me where to go.
Well, no, we would talk about it and you'd be excited and I'd be excited. You wouldn't turn up with New Zealand.
No, I wouldn't.
For dry red Pinot. You'd turn up with something fun and exciting.
I would.
And it doesn't have to cost a lot.
No, it's true.
Just to be interesting.
Yeah. Well, what else we got to do? What do you mean drinking? Oh, my God, you've been in Europe. So, okay,
what
go on.
What haven't I been drinking? Well, I was in Bordeaux Bergerac, so I was in the sort of Dordogne, the southwest of France. So I had an amazing bottle of Graf, so 80% Sauvignon, 20% Sem, mm-hmm. I think. It was €25, so it was not cheap. And I'll just say now that when I'm on holiday.
Is that not cheap?
Well, it's about $35. So not cheap too. Because when I'm on holiday in Europe.
For Grave.
Yeah,
like
no, for Grave.
For
it was
a nice
good.
Bordeaux,
it was
I'd expect to pay that.
Chateau Lafleur de Grave.
Okay.
I don't really know them. It was bloody, bloody, bloody delicious. It was searingly great acidity. Of course, we were eating it with foie gras.
Yeah.
Eating foie gras with it. Warm summer's afternoon. It was just beautiful, dewy glass, you know, all the by the pool, all everything just aligned.
That
it was
amazing.
Yum, yum, yum. But I have a policy in Europe because my family's not, because I spent the week in France with my whole family, mum and sisters and stuff. They're not into wine. So I spent no more than €5 per bottle of wine because they don't get it. They're going to be disappointed with whatever they drink. So there's no point. Dougald bought a bottle of $35 Saint-Emilion and it was okay. And I'm just like, nah, guys, yeah. Set yourself a limit. And then if it's €5, who cares?
Wow.
And I'm not there to study wine
when
I'm on
fair.
Holiday. I'm just there. We were drinking.
And if you can
Pia
drink
Royale.
My stuff for that,
yeah.
Then like, why not?
We did. We had some really good Bergerac whites and some IGPs from the Languedoc.
Nice.
And, you know, nothing special, but just yum.
Yeah.
Just quaffers.
Quaffers.
So I drink lots of quaffers, and my liver is very fat now. But anyway,
oh,
so am I. 4 kilos.
Foie gras and wine for. Weeks.
Days. We were having foie gras for breakfast, lunch.
Oh, my God, Meg. Don't say that. The vegans will come after us.
They're not force-fed anymore. It's kind of ethical, foie gras. Okay, so what have we got here?
Okay, so we're doing the Chardonnays. Why don't you take me through what regions we have the possibility to come
I up? Have three classic and one less classic region. What would you think the regions possibly could be?
Okay, so I bet we're doing a Yarra.
Yes.
A Margaret River.
Yes.
What else would we do? Like a Barossa?
No.
No. Hunter?
No.
Mornington?
Yep.
Yeah, I would have thought that'd be too similar to Yarra. I don't know if I can tell the difference.
This is the thing. We always say there's a difference between Mornington and Yarra Pinot, so let's see.
I don't. Tassie.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well done. So we have Tasmania.
So we have three cool climate and one moderate.
Yes.
Okay. We don't have any warm.
We don't have any warm. I thought I'd do classic regions. I was tossing up between Adelaide Hills.
You're making this hard.
And then I saw the Tassie and I thought, oh, I really want the Tassie. And it was just, there's too much to choose on. Also, they're between $30 and $35. Now, when I went onto the Dan's website and put that in as a filter, so it's 30. Anyway, 25 to 50.
Yeah.
It really shortened down the amount of wines that were available.
I bet.
It's quite interesting.
We'll have to, next time we have a Dan's guest, we'll have to talk to them about that. I bet the
$20
makes up like 80% of
the store. One of the wines is at $25, I think, because it was on special or something. So anyway.
These are nice glasses. Are these Chardonnay glasses?
I don't know.
They look like Riesling, actually.
Is it written on the thing?
No.
I don't know. I think mine are the stupid Viognier ones that I thought were Chardonnay glasses.
Yeah, looks like it actually, but they're nice.
Yes. Well, yours are all the same and mine are all the same, but our glasses are different. Anyway, first wine. First thing I notice about it is it's got a slightly deeper colour than anything else. So that's making me...
Deeper colour?
Yeah. Maybe it's just the light in here is pretty bad, I've got to say. No?
I don't find it any deeper than the others.
Oh, see, I think it's got more of a brownie colour than the others. Yeah, anyway.
I'm backwards, are they?
No, the numbers are on the glasses.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, unless you've carried them in wrong, you bloody idiot.
Number one. Okay, so.
So I'm getting stone fruit, flintiness.
That's flinty.
A little bit of reductiveness. So when we're talking about reductive, it's like...
Oh, wait, sorry. Can we go through each region first? And before we get into it, let's talk about what we should theoretically expect from each region.
Okay. So what would you expect from Yarra?
Okay, so Yarra is always more like mineral and flinty, more on the citrus side rather than like a ripe...
Yeah.
Like a riper stone fruit.
Yeah, so it's more like just ripe nectarines.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've got often that flinty, stony bit of reduction in there.
Often a bit of use of oak, but not overdone. Maybe a little bit of leaf stirring. Once again, not overdone. It's very controlled, and fruit is probably more heroed than...
Yes, than oak. Oak is always background to fruit.
Yes.
What about Margaret River?
So Margaret River, I'd expect way more buttery... I'd expect bigger and bolder. I'd expect a bit more of those riper fruits, like your stone fruits.
Yep, so riper peach. Remember we had grapefruit all the time coming
grapefruit
out with the Chardonnay?
Grapefruit was coming out with it. And I think like leaf stirring and stuff is more used.
And more evident oak.
Yes.
I think, yep.
Oaky and yogurty and stuff.
Mornington.
Okay, you got me there. I actually don't know how to differentiate Yarra and Mornington. I would expect them to be pretty similar.
If Mornington for me is, this is going to sound so wanky, it's more of a white peach versus a white nectarine. It's sort of a juicier style of Chardonnay, but it's still very fine-lined and tight. Again, the oak is very much background, but it's not as linear as a Yarra Valley Chardonnay for me, Mornington. I mean, Mornington's really hard because there are so many different little pockets.
Yes.
So I'm not going to tell you which part of Mornington this is from. But they are very similar, which is why I got it, because can we tell the difference? I always think that, sure, I know. And then I'm thinking, you know what? Whenever I look at my descriptors for the two, they are very, very similar.
Yeah.
I would say Mornington's slightly less acid, but then that's very much year dependent because Mornington and Yarra are two regions that are very vintage specific, whereas Margaret River's not as affected by vintages as Mornington and Yarra Valley.
Yes.
And Tassie, well, I think we just expect acidity and
acidity, and because citrus it's the coolest. Fruit. Yeah, like nice and tight.
Yep.
Okay.
So there we go. So the first one.
Okay, so like there's a little bit of oak.
Yep.
But not a lot. I first off would say that I don't think this is Margaret River. The other three.
It's kind of got peach character. I smell a sort of a white peach character to it. It's a little bit close on the nose, to be honest. I'm not really getting a lot. I do get some of that reductiveness. It's sort of a savoury character to the wine.
There really is a savoury character on the palate as well. Like it's, I have to say, my sensitivity to bitterness has like tripled. So I'm tasting bitterness everywhere and I'm getting a little bit of bitterness, but almost like maybe like a grapefruit or a lemon skin.
Pith. Yes. Absolutely. Grapefruit pith 100% on the palate and really quite tight and furry acidity.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's got some phenolic contact as well. So there's a furriness to it. It leaves your mouth like you've had a really strong cup of tea, that sort of furry character, but there's a lot of grapefruit pith in there.
It's really the acid and that phenolic is really quite...
Yeah,
prominent on the mid palate.
For me, it's a really interesting wine, but it's It's not screaming to me of anywhere.
No, me either.
And not even really screaming to me of Chardonnay.
Yeah, true. True.
There's a bit of peachiness. There's some of that minerality. There's a little bit of salinity in there, but it's, I don't know. So we'll park that
Yeah.
That'll be that we've named every other one.
Yeah,
so it's got to
be
the elimination one.
Yeah, it will.
Okay, so the second one.
Is it normally easy enough to just do this? Like, did you choose ones that you thought would be reflective of the region?
I was a bit limited with Mornington because, as we know, Mornington's been in very, very short supply. Yeah. So, in fact, the one that I chose, I couldn't get, and they kindly substituted. Well, I asked. I knew they did have another one there.
Yeah.
These are all from Dan's. So when I was in the store, I asked them to – I took that one instead.
Yeah.
I've sort of chosen ones that maybe people don't necessarily know.
Yeah, okay.
As well.
Yeah.
So,
all right,
but not with Mornington.
This one isn't super jumping out of the glass either, but I'm getting almost like a lemon meringue type thing. Like it's lemony, but there's something kind of yogurty in there, which probably
it's
means
really
a little bit of leaf
stirring.
Yeah.
I get grapefruit. I get oak and, yeah, that clotted cream smell. Do you know clotted cream? So it doesn't smell like cream. It almost smells halfway between cream and butter.
Clotted.
So
it sounds terrible.
Yeah, but they put it on scones. I was down in Devon for for a day with a friend of mine, Xenia Irwin.
Yeah.
Xenia Roscomb King, sorry. She's changed her name. But this has got that real clotted cream, so I think there is some lee stirring on this.
Heaps of acid, though.
Mm.
I would say in a nice way. I'm enjoying it.
Mm. Mandarin, grapefruit,
mm-hmm.
A high acidity.
High acidity.
Oak, not really super evident, but lee stirring. So
definite
I think.
Definitely lee stirring.
I think
on
that
the finish
creaminess.
More than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we won't call that. I'm starting to have an elimination in our little prime.
Yeah, if my early call that I might change it is that could be Tassie based on the acidity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Based on colour, I'm just wondering if the last one's Tassie.
Oh, really?
Isn't that bizarre?
You're calling it on colour. Wow. Okay, so three.
Okay. It smells like biscuit base for cream.
Yes!
Cheesecake.
What is that? Where would that be coming from?
So oak lees.
Yeah.
So sometimes in Chardonnay I get that oatiness or Anzac cookie smell.
Yes.
Without the sort of golden syrup.
I really like that smell.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Biscuit base.
And okay, so what about malolactic fermentation? Is that something that you could pick in wines like this?
But malic acid... Malolactic fermentation, there are – you can chase that butter, caramel, toffee flavour, which I think this has some of.
Yeah.
Or if you do it, there's now bacteria that don't – that we can inoculate with that don't produce as much of that character. So what it does is it deacidifies and ameliorates the acid without adding those flavours in. So, you know, in – back in the day when, you know, I was winemaking at a winery, someone said, oh, has this Chardonnay gone through malolactic fermentation? I went, nah. And I actually tested it.
And it had?
Partial.
Yeah.
Because it was held on yeast lees with very low sulphur for a long period of time. So just a few barrels, not everything. It was just a blending component. And part of that had obviously gone through malolactic fermentation. And I remember saying to... Kate Goodman, the same thing. Has your Chardonnay gone through Malo? And she goes, I don't know, maybe. And so you can't always see
it. Is it even a relevant question? Like if someone's tasting wines that you're representing and they ask about, has this gone through malolactic fermentation, do you think it's a dumb question or do you think it's worth asking?
If you can see the flavour in it, you can ask that question. If you are seeing that toffee, caramel, butter character, then I think it is worth asking the question. But if it's just...
Or if you just don't know and you're trying to train yourself on how to taste it. Yeah.
But see, in parts of the Loire, we used to put Chenin through malolactic fermentation just to deacidify.
Yeah.
But it had no flavour component. Yeah, it was just done to deacidify. Back then, there was a certain bacteria. If you did it at a lower temperature, so it took a lot longer, you wouldn't get any of that toffee, caramelly, butteriness. Yeah. So Malo, I can't always pick. This has a buttery component to it.
It tastes like apple crumble.
Yes, exactly.
But it is. It's like toffee on the nose. Oh, I really like it. And do you know what? I think it has almost, the texture is a bit more oily and smooth and
much
malty.
Much softer acid.
Yeah.
So that could go into the malolactic fermentation as well.
It almost melts in my mouth, which I love it when Chardonnay does that.
It's a bloody delicious wine.
It's yum.
It's really, it's that one that Hugh and Hook would go with his buttery chicken. Not with sashimi or fish or whatever. It's something that would go beautifully with a really rich roasted tarragon chicken. Yum. Like my sister did in France.
I love that. That's my pick for Margaret River so far.
That's my Margaret River one too. Geez, I hope we're right.
I know.
Last one. Is this one slightly cloudy or has it got a bit of spritz in it?
Yeah, it looks a bit spritzy, hey?
Mm.
Okay, the nose is lime.
That's Tassie. I told you, based on the colour. Yeah, I don't know. You taste it. It's
flinty. It's like struck match.
It is literally like struck match. It is literally like a flint stone when you do that.
Yeah.
When you go camping. It's very, very citrusy. So there's a bit of grapefruit, but it's more lemon, lime. Can't see any oak.
No way.
And the acidity is huge.
It's got to be dizzy, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. Okay. You thought, based on the acidity, number two might have been, that's a point. I haven't bought these based on vintage. Bad girl.
Oh, Meg, you're introducing variables.
I know. Let's just go on reaching.
You've got like a science background.
We did decide yesterday or the day before. Okay. And I will admit that I am still in 3 o'clock cocktail mode.
Still in holiday mode.
I am not in having to work. Yes. I've struggled this week.
Yes.
So we thought two possibly was Tassie because of?
The acid. But now that the last one has much more acid and flintiness.
Have a look at two. I mean, this is the thing, people, when you're trying something that's really acidic and then you try something that's even more acidic, if you go back and look at what wine you thought was acidic, it looks far less. And this is why, before you taste wine, always have a glass of bubbles to get your acid in your palate.
I think people will appreciate that advice.
Yeah. I just want to sort of flag that for me, the first wine is stylistically different. I think it's a funkier approach to winemaking. I think there's more solids, a little bit more oxidative handling, possibly the old school Burgundian thing. It's got a lot more going on than just the grape and the region. So it's a hard one to call.
Right.
So by a process of elimination,
yes,
my feeling is that two is Mornington.
Mornington and one is Yarra. That would leave one to be Yarra. Okay, so we're going one Yarra, two Mornington, three Margaret, four Tassie.
Okay.
Do you have a favourite or do you like them all?
I love that Margaret River.
Yeah, I love it too.
And I think I've got really bad ulcers because I've had such an indulgent diet for the last 3 weeks. I'm getting back into eating healthy and my body, I've got a pimple, which I never get, in the middle of my forehead.
Oh, my God.
I've got ulcers. I'm just, not looking to not my prettiest at the moment. So the acid of them all is bothering me a little bit, and I think that's why I'm leaning a little bit towards the Margaret River. But they're all really, really interesting wines. The Tassie one for me I think is just too young.
Yeah.
It just needs time. There's so much of that citrus white floral going on. But it's definitely Chardonnay.
Yeah.
It's really, really varietal.
I would really happily drink any of these.
Mm.
If given a glass. They are all really top-notch Chardonnay.
And interestingly, everything would have a completely different meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would go something like a paella for the first one with a little bit of smoky chorizo in there.
Yeah.
Then with the second one, I'd be more like your prawn cocktail, kind of classic. We said the buttered chicken with maybe with some tarragon. And this last one would be definitely fine Japanese dining with beautiful fish or even pork crackling, as you know, my favourite food group.
And that would go so nice with pork crackling. That acid would just cut straight through it with like applesauce.
Oh, that'd be perfect because apple and there's apple in the wine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll stop because we are recording this around dinner time. I need to go and find out what they are.
Let's get the results.
My husband just said to me, "You guys suck."
You were like cackling on your way back down the hallway.
Number one, Kooyong, Mornington Peninsula, 2021 Chardonnay.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not too far off. I thought it was Yarra, it was Mornington. That's really just proved the point that you can't tell the difference between Yarra and Mornington.
I would not pick that as Mornington at all. Number two, Forrester Margaret River 2022 Chardonnay.
You're kidding.
And we said, how high is the acidity?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I have to turn your mic down. Sorry, enthusiastic about this.
And I know people get upset because the volume goes up and down.
Yeah, I've been told we've woken up sleeping babies before.
Well, suit yourself right for having the podcast on when your baby's asleep. Put your head pods in. Number three is Payton and Jones, Yarra Valley. And that's the one we thought was Margaret River with all the different flavours.
You know what? Payton and Jones are pretty – they love working with texture and stuff. Like, so it kind of makes sense that
– it's interesting. It's 2021. It's only 12.5% alcohol, but it's got that creamy toffee character. I would love to know if this has gone through – contains sulfites, if it's gone through malolactic fermentation. 21 was an extraordinary year. So the only wine we got right –
oh, well, at least we got the Tassie right.
Was Tassie.
Wow. Okay, so terroir with – but like Chardonnay could have been the hardest one for us to do, testing terroir, because
there is so much winemaking.
So much winemaking that can throw us. I cannot believe we got Margaret River wrong.
No, and go back and have a look at it. Oh, okay. Did you say grapefruit pith on this one?
Yeah. Yeah, that should have been our hint, shouldn't it? Yeah, I guess. And this was the one that I was saying yogurt, wasn't it?
And lazy.
So maybe. But it's still not classic.
We're really
Margaret.
Good when we know what the wines are.
Yeah, we are. When we have the answers, we definitely know everything.
That is really, really interesting because Forrest is a pretty traditional sort of producer.
Mm.
The Forrester Chardonnay is a refreshing fruit-driven wine with lifted citrus, stone fruit and subtle oak characters. A consistent style, excellent length and a soft finish are features of this refined wine. Enjoy now in good company or cellar over the midterm.
Mmm.
Oh.
Oh, thank you.
We've just had snacks brought
in. We've had snacks delivered.
Got the pregnant lady to feed. So we had a 2021, the Kooyong from Mornington Peninsula. That's the most surprising one for me. That's the least Chardonnay esque wine that I think we have.
Yeah.
2022 Margaret River Forrester, then 21 for Yarra, and then 22 for Frogmore Creek, which is down near Hobart. Wow.
All right, that makes sense. That last one.
That last one, yeah. Okay, so we can pick Tasmania.
We can pick Tasmania.
Yay!
Well, there you go. I mean, once you know it, it kind of does, but still.
I still don't think
I would still argue that the Margaret River's style has just evolved so much in the last few years, it seems.
I think you're right. I think it's becoming like Burgundy, where it's down to producer. It's not down to appellation. Back in the day, Meursault was Meursault and Pouligny was Pouligny and Chassin was Chassin. But now you really need to know your producers. And
choices.
Yeah, we clearly
don't.
So, but there's not a single glass there that I would not happily
Oh,
take home and drink.
Great wine.
It was great. And they're all between, yeah, like I said, 25-ish and 35.
Cool. Yeah, good value. Nice Chardonnay. All right, so that's that sorted. What do we got next week?
We're going to Argentina.
Argentina?
Yes. My husband and son have just got back from Patagonia, Chilean Patagonia, admittedly. And we were you and I were talking and we were saying we haven't really done Malbec, and I was in Cao when I was away. I was going to do Cao. Hard to get. There's very few wines. So I thought Argentinian Malbec. So what I want to have a look at difference in price. So I've got the same producer and difference in price. And then I've got a very entry-level wine. And then I've got a wine that's labelled as Reserva, because I just want to sort of talk about how the Argentinians do their quality measurements.
All right, I hope it's steak night for you tonight, opening all this Malbec.
No, it's spanakopita. Vegetarians, but tomorrow night will be steak night. Trust me,
it's Friday. that'll make good use of the Malbec. Okay, so we'll see you next week, and until then, enjoy your next glass of wine.
Drink well.